A lawsuit over whether an augmented reality game can operate in a city has just been settled. Plus, a non-peer-reviewed study claims that lots of people have died due to Pokemon Go, so let's start panicking. Tonight is December 3rd, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
It's December, y'all. I went out and put out lights out in front and didn't even have to wear a jacket. It's totally not. It doesn't feel like December. Hello, everybody, and welcome to, yes, it actually is a December edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss sometimes the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes even reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. That's where I'll try to read intelligent comments from chat. And if you are logged into the site, you can check in and get some points on our December leaderboard, final leaderboard of 2017. Just like SSJ100 Matt and Hitstun, they checked in at some point during the intro to the show, and I thank everybody for doing that. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, which I know they are pretty late, but it is December, and it's that time of year. But at least we'll be able to catch up at the end of the year. There's 2 weeks we're not having live shows, so you'll be totally caught up in time for 2018. You can listen for a passphrase. And it will rudely interrupt the show at some point, and then you can put that in on the site and get the exact same amount of points. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and toll-free number. You can call us in a little bit later on. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word. You can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on an episode page over at VogNetwork.com. SJ100 Matt says, please tell me you didn't use one of those light projectors. I'm not a fan of those. It's not a light projector. It shines lasers. And we don't have it on right now. But yes, we did buy one because I'm totally ready to annoy the hell out of my new neighbors. So right now, no, there is no laser projecting on the side of the house. And it's just because we don't have an extension cord long enough to get it to where it needs to be. And except the one we got actually also has like bats and witches and stuff, so it can also be used at Halloween. So lasers. No sharks. Although ThinkGeek, by the way, does now sell a shark with a frickin' laser pointer on its head. It is exactly what it says it is. It is also sold out. But just in case you ever needed that in your life. I'm a little distracted, so you're going to have to forgive me just a little bit here. I have to do this. This is contractually obligated to do this. I am contractually obligated thanks to Sports Ball. I have to.
Auburn sucks. I like trucks.
He likes trucks.
I don't care for Auburn.
He doesn't care for Auburn.
Holes.
See you in the Rose Bowl, Oklahoma. Got to play a couple games this week before all that it got to happen. One of the games I wanted to talk about, this is your VR game for the night, so you can go ahead and drink. It's Desert Bus VR, and it was because somebody posted about it in the Discord. We have a Discord here at VOG Network. VOGNetwork.com/Discord gets you the invite. That's actually a link. It takes you to the link to add our Discord server to your personal Discord. Somebody posted this in there, so I'm like, yeah, I should check that out, because I actually have a burned disc, the burned two CDs of Penn & Teller Smoke and Mirrors for the Sega CD. Unfortunately, my Sega CD is the only thing that I that did not survive the move to the new house. The Genesis is fine. The Sega CD, not so much. And Gearbox Software actually converted the desert bus portion of Penn & Teller Smoke and Mirrors into a VR game. And if you don't know the backstory, so Desert Bus, you might have seen the charity stream, Desert Bus for Hope, done by the Loading Ready Run guys. Say that 10 times fast. And you probably have seen that. And it's basically, it was in response because the game was in the early 90s. And Penn & Teller Smoke and Mirrors was made in the early 90s. And this was when Janet Reno was, I think... was she attorney general or I can't remember what her, but this was when she was in the government. I can't exactly remember which title she had off the top of my head. Somebody in chat might be able to say, oh, you dummy. It was this. And then I'll repeat it to you, which means they could tell me lies and then I'll repeat lies. Dark Tatsuya says, yeah, attorney general. So, but anyway, this was around the time of, you know, Night Trap and Mortal Kombat and when all that stuff was going on. And she kind of wished that video games were less about violence and more about preparing you for real life. And so Penn & Teller said, okay, we'll make a game that does exactly that. And that game was Desert Bus, which was a real-time, you driving a bus in real time from Tucson to Las Vegas, which is 360 miles, and your bus topped out at like 45 miles an hour or 55 miles an hour. Anyway, it was an eight-hour trip. And if you make it all the way there, the bus ever so, like, the steering isn't properly aligned. So if you just leave it there, it just, you know, veers off to the right. So you have to constantly move the bus back into to the lane. So you can't just, like, let it sit there. And on the Sega CD, this was a digital. There was no analog sticks or anything, so you couldn't like just like ever so slightly move it and center it. It was, you know, it was on or off. So that was the thing. And if you went off the side of the road, you crashed and had to be towed back to Tucson in real time. So if you had been driving for 2 hours and then crashed, it took 2 hours for them to tow you back to Tucson where you could start over, unless you reset. But and then if you got to Las Vegas, you got a point. One point, and then you would drive back from Las Vegas to Tucson. That was the game. It was basically supposed to be Janet Reno's dream game. And actually, Penn & Teller Smoke and Mirrors, it was a canceled title for the Sega CD. But it was almost done, or it was actually done, and they even had marketing for it. They had the instruction manual made. It's just the company went under. It never came out. It was two CDs because it actually had a bunch of mini games, and Desert Bus was just one of them. They even had here, fool your friends with a card trick, and where basically you would actually have a real deck of cards, and the video game monkey, there was actually a monkey, would guess the card, and they would actually go through this thing where it's actually you are the accomplice. So basically the person who knows the trick, the quote unquote magician, would actually, you know, do the card trick with actual cards with the monkey, you know, talking to stuff, you know, to your unsuspecting person. And the monkey would try to guess the cards while the magician's holding the controller. And then the secret is you actually then input a button combination and then hand the controller over to the other person because you know what the card is, but the monkey in the TV doesn't. And so it's all that kind of stuff, which is what Penn & Teller is really known for. With their magic, where they, you know, reveal how tricks are done and then go one step further and don't reveal that part of the trick. That's their whole thing. They have that. There was also like a side-scrolling adventure starring Penn & Teller, and there was like a shoot 'em up or something. So there were a couple of mini games, but Desert Bus is the one that everybody knows today. And there was a VR version made by Gearbox Software, and it was free, and it was released this week on at least I know it was on Steam. I'm sure it works with the Oculus Rift. I'm not sure if it's on the Oculus Store. It might be, but I know I've played it on Steam and on the Vive, and it's basically a VR version, which also does have a non-VR mode. And it's the exact same game, pretty much, except they actually have like a little radio in there, and there is this 25-minute, I think it was an NPR interview. It sounds like an NPR interview where
They're really laid back. They're really relaxed. And they're just sitting there talking about the bus, about the desert bus. And then it like meanders even more. It talks about, I think it's like, it goes into, I think fishes and stuff. And then like, how many miles per gallon does a Prius get? And it's just, it's a really meandering thing. So it's almost worth the price of free just to listen to that on this crappy little radio while you're driving. And Penn will even say, yeah, at this point, you've probably gone 8 minutes and you have about 7 hours and 52 minutes to go. And, you know, but they're all laid back and all that stuff. Now, Brakeman actually asks, does another ride the bus? Which I know he was probably joking, but yes, someone else actually can. See, here's the other thing that they added. Multiplayer mode. Other people can ride in your bus while you are driving, and they appear as little ghost people in the bus behind you. Now, there's no voice chat, but they can throw things at you while you're driving. And Brakeman's probably like, oh, you're kidding. No, I'm actually not kidding. You can like throw wads of paper at the driver. I have not been able to do this because I was not able to find a game and nobody joined my game when I was driving for about 30 minutes. He says, applause to whoever made this. Gearbox Software did. Actually, it was a Randy Pitchford thing because in that interview, Penn name drops Randy Pitchford like multiple times. There even is the multiplayer component. Where other people ride the bus. Now, once you're on the bus, you can't, like, change seats. I mean, it is definitely not anything more than that. It is a joke game. It was made for free and I think for charity as well. There's actually a Desert Bus for Hope sticker on the windshield, so you can always see it. And Kaijuda says, we need a Vogue bus trip. Unfortunately, I mean, that sounds great, but that's more than they ever put in the game. Because, like I said, there's no voice chat on it. You don't know who the other people are. They're just there. It's random matchmaking. And the servers crash a lot, apparently. And you can't, like, switch out drivers. And you can't pause the game. And if you stop for too long, then your bus breaks down and you get towed back. So it was a really interesting experience. I basically drove for about 30 minutes because the interview was 25 minutes and I hadn't heard it before. It was for, I think, an NPR podcast, or it was an NPR thing because they had a break for commercial in the middle, asking for donations probably. So I listened to the interview, and then there's like some other stuff, like somebody's reading a Wikipedia article about something, and really it's terrible. It's supposed to be terrible. And then I was done. So I did about 30 minutes. That's as far as I got. But it's called Desert Bus VR. It is free on Steam. I am not positive it's on Oculus Store, but I imagine it is. Because they do have the Oculus Touch triggers. Now, it does have motion control, but it's not really all that much of control or anything. You don't actually use your hands, so you don't reach out and touch anything. It's actually using like the... On the Vive controllers, at least, the gas is mapped to the left trigger, and then the right trigger is your steering. But the right touchpad is your steering. So I'm assuming on the touch controllers, it's the left trigger and the right thumbstick is all you really use. But you can reach and hit stuff, so I think you can, like, open the door, but nobody ever gets on. You can honk the horn, which apparently crashes the game. I didn't do that. I mean, I think you have to slap the horn to do that. Dungeon Bus says, when people complain about walking simulators, they should be forced to play this. I agree. So that's Desert Bus VR. Another thing I wanted to kind of mention that I finally joined, now that I'm I don't know if I'm going to even be playing any more games for this, but I finally joined the new 3DS Revolution. They released a Super Nintendo themed new Nintendo 3DS XL. So I picked that up and did the transfer. It only took me about an hour and a half to transfer all my stuff, but you got to realize I never filled the 2 gig card that was in my 3DS, and there's a 4 gig card in the new 3DS, so it didn't take 4 hours. It was about an hour and a half. And did that played a couple, you know, stuff on it. I can now read Amiibos. So I went back into Miitopia and, like, scanned all my Amiibos, and I'm like, great, cool. I can now dress up as Mario in the game. Awesome. But I've already finished Miitopia, so I don't need to play that anymore. But now, like, the new 3DS games are open to me, and the Super Nintendo Virtual Console games are open to me if I really want to play them on the go, since the Virtual Console isn't going to be coming to Switch anytime soon. So I did get that, and I'm kind of excited. They still don't bundle in AC adapter, so I had to go out and buy a new AC adapter just so I can have an AC adapter for each of my 3DSs. When I donate the old one to my significant other, she can have her own. We're not sharing an AC adapter. It's still a silly decision. I think by now people are buying them as second ones and not necessarily to replace the first one, because that's what they were saying, is that the reason they didn't bundle the AC adapter at first was because everybody already had a 3DS, so they were just upgrading. And so you don't need another AC adapter. Why should they give you another AC adapter? Which I can kind of understand, because when I was going through some of my boxes of, like, my video game cables and stuff for consoles, I have no clue how the hell I ended up with, like, 8 AV cables for the original Xbox. I honestly don't know how that happened. Like, I did not buy that many AV cables for an original Xbox, because my original Xbox never died. Like, it never got replaced. I never bought a second one. But somehow I have, like, 6 or 7 AV cables for the Xbox. I don't know why. Tiger Claw asks, did you put a screen protector on? I don't put any protectors on any of my stuff. I don't have a case on my phone. I don't have a screen protector on anything. I never needed a screen protector on my old 3DS or my DS, any of my DSs, because I take care of my stuff. And then the last game that I was going to talk about is the new phone game. It came out actually last week, and I didn't have a chance to try it last week. And so I tried it this week. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, the new Nintendo mobile game. It's a little bit more of a game than whatever the Me one is. And I can't, like, I'm like, okay, it's not Miiverse. It's not Miitopia. And why am I blinking on this? Miitomo. Yeah, Miitomo. Derp. So, Tiger Claw says, got to have a screen protector because those screens scratch easily. Even if you're using the stylus tab in the screen, it's bound to get scratches sometimes. Maybe if you're playing wrong, because, like, I have literally never had to have a screen protector on any of my DSs or 3DSs. Like, and what, the DS came, like, I got a DS on launch day in, what, like, 2006? And I've never had my screens scratched on any of my consoles. So I don't need to spend the money on a screen protector, because apparently I do things the correct way. And Hitstun says, I heard you can put a chair in a cage and you will find villagers in that cage sometimes. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. So Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, it is basically, it's the Happy Home Designer portion of Animal Crossing, except you're doing a camp, like a campsite, which is also, you know, you can have, like, luxury items in your campsite. So you're not roughing it. I have, like, a full band, like a drum set and a guitar, and like, I've got a music festival going on in my camp. And you're trying to invite villagers over and make them happier, and you can only make them so happy until you build a tent. And all this stuff takes time, and to make them happy, you have to go find things that are on timers, and then you run out of inventory space, and then you have to sell some stuff, and then you realize you needed more of that stuff, but you can't buy back what you're selling, and then you owe money for your car. You have, instead of having a house payment, now you have a car payment. And I'm doing this game a big disservice, but it's one of those games where it's free to play. And maybe, like, the first night, because I actually started it during OLR last week. And I played it a lot then, and, you know, because it's like one of those games where you can actually spend a couple hours on it the first time you play it. Because things don't progress as, you know, you don't have to wait as long in the beginning. That's the hook. And then it was like I would turn on every couple hours. And then, you know, now it's like once a day. So it doesn't hold my attention for as long. I'm not totally the target audience. I see what they're doing with it. I hope it doesn't replace the regular Animal Crossing games. But then again, you know, we still got Super Mario Odyssey, even though Super Mario Run is apparently the most downloaded Android game of 2017. So I don't think we have to worry too much about that. Yeah, I did make one mistake, and I like crafted, because you can craft things, so you get crafting materials, and then you craft things, and that's what lures people to your campsite. And I did accidentally craft something twice, and it was one of those that takes like 9 hours to craft and takes like 60 of your minerals, and you can't cancel once you start. So I made that mistake, because they don't tell you what you currently have crafting when you're trying to like decide what to craft for the person, for the other animal. So don't do that. And also, you don't need to get every single fruit every time they're available, because then you'll run out of inventory space and you'll wind up having to sell that fruit or put it in the market box. And you don't want to do that. So if you want to add me, if you have my Twitter, I linked to my Twitter account, Bobby Blackwolf. So it should, if you're following me on Twitter, you should be able to see that and be able to send a friend request that way. And you can come see my camp that's like half stage and other half like all the holiday stuff. Tiger Claw is continuing to tell me that even though I've never needed a screen protector in like 10 plus years of owning touchscreen devices, that I still need to get one. He says his phone has a screen protector mostly in the pocket, and those pockets can be filled with dirt and all kinds of stuff that can scratch the screen. Well, I don't let dirt get into my pockets. But none of my phones ever have scratches on them, so I'm good with that. And also the 3DS closes anyway, so it's a clamshell. It's not the 2DS doesn't close, but the 3DS does. And he says the button screen is the one that has the potential of getting scratches, due to how you use the stylus. Maybe how you use the stylus, not me. The constant tapping and rubbing against the screen, it's bound to scratch at some point due to stuff that might be on the pointer itself. Kaijudo asks about Animal Crossing Pocket Clamp. Do they have the turnip lady? That was my favorite things about Animal Crossing. No, I haven't seen the turnip lady yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to come later. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase transport. So let's talk about phone games, the Nintendo phone games, and augmented reality. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is not an augmented reality game, so you don't have to, like, leave your house to play it. And you don't have to go to parks and trash them to play this game. But other games, you can do that, and not just Nintendo games. But we're going to talk about, like, something that Pokemon Go started, but another company not related to Nintendo at all finished it. With regards to a city ordinance that got overturned. Kotaku reports that a lawsuit against Milwaukee County for its ordinance regarding the creators of augmented reality games like Pokemon Go to get permits to operate in its parks will conclude with an $83,000 settlement against the municipality. This all started after Pokemon Go players trashed Lake Park last year. In response, the county got Niantic to remove Pokestops from it and pass an ordinance requiring augmented reality companies to get permits in order to operate virtually in its parks. A different augmented reality company working on a poker game, Candy Lab Incorporated, decided to sue the county over the new rules. While neighbors not wanting a bunch of enthusiastic but not always contentious mobile gamers causing a mess at their parks is an understandable concern, the way the county went about it trying to deal with the issue was not very reasonable. Political pressure to do something about the situation came to a head during a September 2016 public meeting where Pokemon Go players professed their love of the game while other residents proposed increasingly weird ways the county might deal with that fact. The ordinance that got passed included, among other things, a requirement that companies operating games in the designated areas get certificates of insurance in the amount of $1 million for any potential damage that might result. Even the judge overseeing the lawsuit was perplexed by the language in the ordinance. U.S. District Judge J.P. Stadmuller, issued a preliminary injunction against the county in July, remarking that the strangeness and lack of sophistication of the new rules. Candy Labs argued that the permit requirement was ultimately an infringement on First Amendment rights, and the federal court agreed. At this time, Milwaukee County Supervisor Sheldon Wasserman said she was looking forward to a trial date for the groundbreaking case. It appears there will not be one. The AP reported late this week that the county's representation and Candy Labs have come to an agreement, which would make the injunction against the former the ordinance permanent and also require the municipality to pay the video game company's legal fees. Fortunately for residents, the money to pay the $83,000 owed will come from its insurance rather than directly from taxpayers' wallets. Though the county unanimously supported the settlement, it's still looking at new ways of dealing with the potential issue. Quote, it is essential that profit-making businesses cannot simply hijack our parts, unquote. This is County Attorney Margaret Dawn on Thursday, according to the AP. And while the federal judge in the case argued that companies like Niantic weren't holding scheduled events like the ones local governments usually have a permitting process for, it's clear that large groups of people congregating together in specific areas is a feature of the games like Pokemon Go, not a bug. So, there was a great comment on that Kotaku article. I wish I could say that I came up with this, but, you know, Pokemon Go hijacking parks like this is just like it's about the same as Ford hijacking roads or Nike hijacking sidewalks. Just because, Pokemon Go is the vehicle to get someone to use the parks doesn't mean that they're responsible for things. If somebody uses a Ford truck to knock over things on the side of the road, that's not Ford's fault. That's the driver's fault. If somebody trashes a park because they were playing Pokemon Go and not respecting the park, that's not Pokemon Go's fault. That's the fault of the game, the player. And it's all about personal responsibility. And it's not Pokemon's fault that somebody doesn't know how to handle parks. It's that person or maybe their parents. It is also possible, it didn't say this in here, but I don't know if there were elections since this ordinance or the voters spoke or something. And maybe there was a change in leadership that did not want to deal with this. And that's why there was a settlement at this point, because this was the previous people, that previous elected officials, and there are new elected officials. I don't know if that's the case. We have obviously had one election since this all started. And I know that we just had another election here in November for some local races. But I don't know if that was the case here. So congratulations to augmented reality companies, because really if this was what was going to happen, that's kind of dangerous for any augmented reality company that may not exactly know where they are or where the person is playing. Because, you know, anything that uses the camera is technically an augmented reality app. So if they don't use your GPS, they don't know where you are, they're going to need to get permits for people wanting to play your game using the camera in your park. And, it could be, you know, an insurance, you know, just this one park, and then everybody else will do it. So now you suddenly have to get permits all around the country just to make a game that uses the camera on a phone. Because that's what an augmented reality game actually is basically it's using the camera on your phone and then putting virtual things on there. So this was probably worded in such a way that any game that uses the camera on your phone and overlays game objects on top of it could be subject to this. But also you got to realize a game like Ingress doesn't use the camera, but it does use the GPS, and it's still considered an augmented reality game. So good thing that this isn't going into court. Breakman says, governments are all about finding new ways to make a buck, or rather take our bucks. And to be fair, I know everybody hates it when I'm fair like this, there was a lot of damage caused to that park because of people playing Pokemon Go. They were trying to get that money back from Niantic rather than the people who actually trashed the park. Rob Roberts does point out, Ingress uses the camera to let you submit new portals at your favorite city parks. There you go. There was another study this week that was released this week, not peer reviewed, that says there have been an increase in deaths because of Pokemon Go. I don't know how they got there, but that's where they got. Ars Technica reports that since Pokemon Go's launch last summer, there have been plenty of anecdotal news reports and social media mentions of players being hurt or even killed while playing the game. A new study from Purdue University, though, used detailed local traffic accident reports to suggest that Pokemon Go caused a marked increase in vehicular damage, injuries, and even deaths due to people playing the game while driving. in the provocatively titled Death by Pokemon Go, which has been shared online but is yet to be peer-reviewed. Purdue professors Marifaccio and John J. McConnell studied nearly 12,000 accident reports in Tippecanoe County, Indiana, in the months before and after Pokemon Go's July 6, 2016 launch. The authors then cross-referenced those reports with locations of Pokestops in the county where players visit frequently to obtain necessary in-game items to determine whether the introduction of a Pokestop correlated with an increase of accident frequency relative to intersections that didn't have them. While the incidence of traffic accidents increased across the county after Pokemon Go's introduction, that increase was a statistically significant 26.5% greater at intersections within 100 meters of a Pokestop compared to those farther away. All told, across the county, the authors estimate 134 extra accidents occurred near Pokestops in the 148-day period immediately after the game came out, compared to the baseline where those Pokestops didn't exist. That adds up to nearly $500,000 in vehicle damage, 31 additional injuries, and 2 additional deaths across the county based on extrapolation from the accident report. So basically, what they're saying is more people were idiot drivers. And it is obviously because of Pokemon Go. Now, they didn't look at actual accident reports because there's probably no accident reports that says, oh, this happened because of Pokemon Go. What they're saying is it's most likely because of Pokemon Go. And they even did some stuff where they worked out, like they looked at historical data. They looked at, school breaks and stuff like that. And they even like tried to track it with the daily active users worldwide, which peaked in July and said more. You know, it's all speculative. And I still think it's personal responsibility. I don't think Pokemon Go caused anybody to cause a car accident. I think that people being distracted while driving was causing car accidents. SJ10 Matt says, this kind of reminds me of a time when a New York City councilman a few years ago wanted to pass a law to make it illegal to walk in the crosswalk while using your phone. He claimed that people were causing accidents because they were looking down at their phones. It never went anywhere because it could never be properly enforced. And Breakman says, so this is all one big assumption. Yes, actually, that's what they're basically saying is they're saying here's the evidence and our hypothesis is this is because of Pokemon Go. But unfortunately, there is actually no evidence, direct evidence, of Pokemon Go being the culprit. But they got media attention. Dungeon Muster says, it looks like texting while driving has competition. Actually, like the Department of Transportation around here actually had like Pokemon Go-themed distracted driving ads on like the big LCD screens or LED screens or whatever that usually show like traffic accidents and stuff. It was, Don't Pokestop while driving or something like that, or Pokestop before you play Pokemon Go or something. Which they do theme every once in a while. Like, so sometimes they'll have like, you know, the scary, you know, texting while driving is the scariest thing of all, and that's what they were running during Halloween and stuff like that. So they try to get your attention, and they were using Pokemon Go as something to stop people from being distracted. Niantic eventually added like making the game practically unplayable while you're in a car. So they did kind of their part, but I'm surprised that I hope nobody tries to sue Niantic over people being distracted, because I don't see people suing AT&T and Verizon for texting existing. They actually blamed the person doing the texting. So we're going to take a quick music break so you can go play an AR game. While you're not distracted listening to this show. And then we will take your calls about anything. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
If you want some cake, listen to the Bobby Blackwell Show.
She'll also be very upset if you crash your car playing AR games. So don't do that. And don't crash your car playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp either, because it's really not worth it. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be a robot hell-bent on taking over the world. All you have to do is send me a MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com, or you can send me a voicemail on the toll-free number, which I am about to turn on right now.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free in North America. You can talk about anything with the air games or anything else going on. If you really feel strongly about some of the topics I didn't cover, like, you know, Destiny 2 messing with how you earn XP because they didn't want people to grind the same content over and over. So they're like, we're going to punish you for playing the game like that, doing the same content over and over again. And then since we can't punish you that way, we're just going to make the bar further away. We're going to double how much XP. If you want to talk about that, you can. There's a lot going on there and a lot to unpack there. Another game I did get to play a little bit it was a VR game. I kickstarted this, so I backed it on Kickstarter. So there's your fair warning. I backed this on Kickstarter. It's called Titanic VR, and it's and I don't have to talk about it because we have a call. So we're going to go ahead and take this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's going on, Bobby? It's Ronmo.
Ronmo, what's going on, man?
Not much. Few things. First things first, I finally got myself Xbox One, so I'm kind of happy about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I picked up South Park Final Fantasy 15. Mm-hmm. Hey, 20. She can't go wrong with that. And I ordered the Rare Replay Collection so I can feel like a 12-year-old kid again.
Yes. Yeah, no, there's a lot of good stuff in that. I actually got that as well, and it's surprising how much stuff's in there.
I know, and you know, a couple of friends of mine were giving me shit about it. Giving me crap about it because I didn't get the PS4. I'm like, look, I already have an extensive 360 collection.
Yeah,
I like them. I like the consoles. Plus, we're getting original Xbox backwards compatibility right now. Sony could give us PS1, PS2 hardware backwards compatibility, but they're not doing it. They're going to go by another route. So mm-hmm. I will pick up my PS4 next year. So I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, and then there's good stuff on the Xbox One, and you know there's all the multi-platform titles anyway. So cool. You're not really missing out on like Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when like FF7 and Kingdom Hearts 3 come out, most likely I won't get the PS4 by then. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm happy with what I got.
Yeah.
I kind of got in late, so I missed a couple of shows, but right. I just wanted to know your thoughts on the return of Battling Brew, because I know this was the spot for you, you know?
Right. Well, I unfortunately didn't get to go as often as I wanted to, which is probably why they didn't make as much money. So I was part of the problem. But also, I lived a little bit far away from it, and I just, like, moved, and now I'm closer. And so we were like, oh, I'm going to get to go more often. And then it closed. Here's the thing, and I know this from the inside a little bit. So I don't know if you guys remember when I did the live broadcast. From Battle and Brew, I think it was 2015. And the person from Battle and Brew I interviewed was a man by the name of Brian. He goes by Chef Lubu on Twitter. He was the head chef at the time. And he also ran their trivia, the Geek Trivia. He unfortunately stopped working at Battle and Brew months and months and months and months ago. Okay. And a couple of them that worked at Battle and Brew, I think like there was a server, and they went off to kind of do some like YouTube media company, and I don't know if that really took off or not. But he still did like trivia and stuff, like trivia for them, and he's done trivia at other places. Now with the new owners, he actually has been rehired. He is now the front of house manager and their social media and marketing person.
Gotcha.
So that leads me to believe that maybe he and the old owners didn't get along, and that's why he was no longer working there. And so now what he's saying is the new owners are actually taking the years of critiques to heart. And so it really actually sounds great. They're actually rehiring people that used to work there that probably left because of friction with the ownership.
Mm.
So I am excited. I am. They opened back up. I think their grand opening was like the 30th. I want to say. Didn't go because I heard it was really packed. But I'm gonna try to go some point either this week or next week and you know see the simplified menu and see what they're doing and how they're doing some of the changes around there.
Sounds like a plan, dude.
So I'm very excited. It really sounds like the new owners are taking a lot of critiques to heart. And actually working on making it a better place, which is probably what should have happened years ago.
Gotcha. No, I'm saying that's even better. So I appreciate, now I know what's going on. So, you know, because I have friends in the area and we do a different podcast and we were talking, they were talking about it. So I was like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. they had similar views as you. So, you know.
Yeah, ActDev says bring back the Triforce burritos, which I never got to try. That was one of the things he was touting on our show. But really, from what I understand, it was the tater tots. That was the one thing, like, the local community were like, why did you take tater tots off the menu? And so, and I know there's a couple other things that were, like, at the old Battle and Brew location that Brian, who is the new front-of-house manager, he's, like, endeavoring to bring back. And so he's trying to work to get them to bring back some of the old favorites from years ago.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. So what else, man?
That's it, man. I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
Oh, and before I get out of here,
yeah,
more Christmas chiptunes, please. I love it.
I will. The entire month of December for me is Christmas chiptunes.
Heck yeah, man.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, take care, bro.
So that is the only call I'm going to take tonight. But I do kind of, since I did kind of tease this, and I kind of want to talk about it, because it just went in early access. So Titanic VR came out. Into early access. I backed it on Kickstarter. It is not a telling of the movie because somebody was like, can I push the woman off the boat? No. This is actually done by the same VR education group that did the Apollo 11 VR documentary, which is actually a really neat thing. Apollo 11, it's actually on PlayStation VR now as well. And so Titanic VR will eventually get to PlayStation VR. But Apollo 11, it's like a 45-minute documentary that actually puts you in the cockpit, and there are some interactive moments in it. And Titanic VR, they've got into early access now, and it's actually a kind of a game thing where you're actually in a in a deep submersible, and you're actually going through the wreck to find items, and they're trying to piece together the story. I'm not exactly sure how authentic the actual story they're telling is, but I do know that they're using like all this data from all the searchers that are going down to the Titanic now and actually like recreating things as what you can find in the actual wreck. So it's really neat, and they've done some really neat stuff with it. And they're interspersing some like, you know, audio interviews with survivors and stuff while you're down there. And they even mention how, you know, there have been, you know, some of the other salvagers have, you know, they were landing their submersibles on the deck, and that was causing issues and more holes and things like that. So it's actually going to be really neat. And apparently there is going to also be a VR documentary that you can sit through coming very soon. It's in early access now. Feel free to wait on it. See how much further it goes. I backed it on Kickstarter. So if you have any questions on it, you can let me know. I kind of stopped after like an hour of the game, but the game portion. But they have you go down there, and then you're actually like taking artifacts and cleaning them, and you know, putting, which is kind of a job simulator type thing, but just not as funky, not as funny or anything. And you're trying to, it's some story about somebody that was on there, and they were sending a parcel to their wife, and you're finding like love notes and telegrams and stuff. So I don't know like how accurate that is. Just like we know, like the story that was in Titanic, the movie, was not actually a story that took place on the Titanic. But I have faith in the guys. I think it's a VR Immersion, I think is the name of the company. I can't remember the name of the company, but they did the Apollo 11 VR, which is fantastic for somebody who loves that type of stuff. And they're working on Titanic right now. Breakman says, when do I get to shoot things? I have a freaking job. I don't want to work. Titanic VR is not for you. Because it's actually an education thing. Like this is the VR edutainment. That's what this falls into. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And then we like to check in with them. Sacramento, you guys there?
Hi, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. How was your trip back?
Yeah. Good. Well, the trip back was very smooth. I'm very tired. I had a very long weekend, but good.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like at all. Actually, that happens to me all the time. So I do a short show every week.
I know.
It's because I'm tired all the time.
tonight's going to be a shorter OLR, but it's not just because of me. I'm going to blame Jamie a little bit for this, too. She has other engagements in the morning, so it's just, you know, it's just one of those nights where we have other stuff going on.
I see how it is.
Yeah, don't blame Jamie. Blame you.
I just totally threw you under the bus, Darksire.
That's okay, because...
She's wearing her...
Because I have a subterranean vehicle, like in Blaster Master.
She wore her this Dragon Age hoodie of some sort to the show tonight, and it looks legit like cosplay. I was like, this is really like...
It's the Cassandra armor jacket.
Yeah, when you have to go grocery shopping at 7 and then commit murder at 8.
No, I'm just defending the realm.
I see. That's defending the realm. Okay.
Defending
grocery
the realm.
Shopping at 7, defending the realm at 8.
And standing up to those Red Templars, yo.
Anyway,
see, once it gets colder here, I can wear my ugly sweater, which I got. It was that a couple years ago. I think it was the Yeti, that company. They actually had like an ugly sweater from Contra, where it's like the Contra aliens in the ugly sweater, and it's got the code. So I'm looking forward to getting cold enough so I can annoy people with that.
I've seen that. I guess it must be really easy to kind of like make those types of sweaters or something, because I feel like I get targeted Facebook ads around this time every year for some type of nerdy company's sweater. And I know some of your listeners will get a kick out of this, especially if they listen to OLR. I swear every other day it's a Golden Girls sweater that I'm getting with some new pun on B. Arthur, or some way to have, you know, Betty White's face, or cheesecake puns or something, like every freaking Golden Girls holiday configuration you can
like
imagine.
Betty White's face and wishing you a white Christmas.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Exactly. I'm pretty
sure
I've seen that
advertisement
ad.
Right there.
Pretty sure I've seen
AI
that.
AI is getting too good.
Maybe you need to start a company, Loki.
So how many accidents have occurred in your area because of Pokemon Go? Because obviously Pokemon Go is dead now, so.
Right, even though I just had a raid with like 20 people a couple days ago before I went to play with hundreds of people in San Francisco, a different AR game that people don't even know about. How many accidents have been caused by Pokemon Go? Well, I think it kind of ties, and you kind of made this point too, it kind of ties back to the whole park settlement, which we're going to talk about on OLR tonight because we have to, because I have a lot of AR. I think I joked in your chat room, it's AR night tonight.
Yep.
It's the responsibility of the driver, not the game. So at the end of the day, you know, if the driver was distracted, that could be Pokemon Go's fault. That could be makeup's fault. That could be cell phone futzing with the radio fault. It could be a variety of things.
It's only the driver's fault. It doesn't matter what other incident was going on at the time. Unless someone reaches over and grabs their wheel while they're driving, it is the driver's fault, the end.
I mean, is the ability of distractions, has Pokemon Go caused that? Maybe, but if not Pokemon Go, you can't say there aren't a million other things that can distract you while you're driving if you want to be.
Yeah.
So... Including
Yeah, I'm with you. So where did you go this weekend?
Okay, so I was in San Francisco, basically, you know, right in the heart of San Francisco, around some of the places I know you've been, like Moscone Center and the new Salesforce area and all that. We were down there in that area and basically having a war between the Enlightened and the Resistance.
Who won?
The Enlightened, which happens... I don't usually talk about this, but that is the team I play on, is the Enlightened, and we won bigly.
Good.
But props to the Resistance for not giving up until the very last checkpoint.
So was there anything new that you're going to be talking about that came out then?
At the whole Ingress event, they unveiled, as part of the announcements at the end, they unveiled what many of the fans have been anticipating, Ingress 2.0, but they're now rebranding that. It's called Ingress Prime is the name of it. And what was kind of cool, not only did they have a trailer for it, but the real surprise was they said, and if you come over to these tables over here, we have some demos of the game we'd like to show you. So it was all of a sudden it was like an E3 booth live in front of me and waiting in the line and everything to go see it. And so my buddy that I play with and I, her and I, waited in line. And one thing you also have to understand about Ingress, the crowd it attracts, not always the same types of gamers. My captain that was at this event here was a mother about probably – 10, 15 years older than I am, who doesn't really play anything else, but she is huge into Ingress. Like, she is the person that will put a field over your entire city when you're not looking. So anyway, her and I stood in the line to check this game out, and they actually showed us, you know, kind of what it looked like and how graphically it was a little bit different and some of the new features in the game. And even if you're not into Ingress, you know, which, you know, I understand it's a kind of a niche thing and not for everybody, I think it's definitely a point of interest. what the Pokemon Go company is making after Pokemon Go. And even though we know, yes, Harry Potter Wizards Unite is somewhere on their radar, A, that's a collaboration with the Warner Brothers studio, so we don't know truly the extent of their involvement. B, this Ingress Prime is a rewrite of Ingress essentially from the ground up. So the Pokemon Go company's new game is their first game, if that makes sense.
What else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
We'll talk about some of the other news that's been out this week, including some information about Cuphead getting patched, some new ambassadors that might sound a little bit familiar to you, and we'll talk a little bit about that big breakfast cereal that I think a lot of you guys are going to be hunting down soon so you can get some rewards in a very, 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 very popular Nintendo Switch game.
You mean literal loot boxes?
Yes, yes. And I know you're a big fan of literally everything, right? But this is a literal loot box.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Or you can actually join the Discord server if you have Discord. The app or the desktop app, vognetwork.com/discord will get you the invite into it. There is actually a room for the show. And if you post news in there, that is actually higher likelihood of me actually talking about it on the show. I only have like one or two news stories queued up, and it's more likely to be on the show if you post about it in there. Actually, Desert Bus VR was posted in there, and that's why I talked about it earlier. I also have a Facebook fan page, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or I'm on Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit feedback on the episode page here at vognetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very, very much for being here. Dark Soccer, Dark Tootsie, DC Nate, Ronmo, Rob Roberts, VX, Jason XV, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, JD, Shadow Next Gen, Tiger Claw, Alt, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffee, Bowl, Brad from Pod Culture, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fluke, Hitstun, Ikuma JP, Kaijudo, Kazan, Matt Fox, Mega Man X400, Mistletoe Man, that's Breakman, MXC, MXT, Raginator, Spiffy, SJ Winner Matt, Twilly, VidPower, and Zeba. So I am out of here. See you guys next week. Don't drive and play AR games. But stay home and play a VR game if you can. That'd be nice. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.